Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
You ready to make some radio history there, number five?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Good to see you.
Hey, you too.
Welcome in, my friends. Every Thursday night, we meet right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network. It's the Josh Freeman Show, Episode 1. This is like when you collect a comic book. It's the very first one, the first issue of a show. You know, I brought this in just to show you. You know, it's magazines. You go shopping, and all of a sudden, there's a Lindy Sports, and there you are on it. Your life is changed at the beginning of last year during the draft, and I'm just going to go real quick over last year. You came in about, would you come in game 7 or 8?
I think it would have been game 8 right after the bye week.
After the bye week. So you played 9 games last year. Mm-hmm. And you beat in your first victory, 3 touchdowns against Green Bay, the throwback game. I said, wow, a star is born, because we saw you. We were talking about you after the game. We saw you make just about every throw an NFL quarterback needs to make, and tight spirals on your outs, a seam pass that safeties can't get to in time, corner throws, throwing on the run. And that's when Buck fans got excited about you, is because we saw all the tools that you were given. And then the question was, were you going to hit the books? And then that's where we pick up the story in the offseason. Take me back to how you spent some of your offseason.
Yeah, no, definitely hitting the books, you know. It was generally a feeling of really being behind. You know, I'm a second-year quarterback, but, I mean, when I look at the spectrum, it's not like college football where guys are seniors and then the freshman comes in. It's kind of like this is the NFL. It doesn't really matter what year you are. You're expected to perform and perform right away, so... the feeling coming into this year was that I was behind, that I had to go in and really learn everything. And even though I was going on to my second season, I really wanted to have the mind of maybe a fifth-year guy. Although there's some things that you can't learn except through game experience. But, I mean, from a book start standpoint, I try to knock out every different thing.
Came in the offseason. Tell me real briefly the stories that you went out west. You know, of course, Mr. Olson is not just, your offensive coordinator and was your quarterback's coach before we brought in a separate QB coach for you, but he also did some work back in his college days with a very famous quarterback. How did you guys end up working out with Drew Brees?
You know, yeah, it was Coach Olson who orchestrated that. And Drew Brees trains out at a Fitness Quest 10 out in San Diego with a guy named Todd Durkin. And it was really, I mean, after we broke OTAs, I mean, we had a little time off, but I mean, me and Josh Johnson, we didn't really want to take a whole lot of time off. So, I mean, he set it up to where we could go out there and train for a week. I think Josh trained for a little longer, but I had to get back to Missouri because I had some stuff going on. But we were able to go out there and get a lot of good work in in the weight room, good work in conditioning, and also and good workout throwing the ball.
And you get a chance to talk to him. I'm sure he's not tipping your hands on some of the things their Saints are doing. But did you pick his brain for where he was, like when he was in his second year? Did he make references to kind of like, oh, I see where you're at here, and you know when I was there? Or was it just talking? You know, did you talk actual offense? Offense?
Yeah, I mean, we talked schemes. We talked the offense when we were out throwing routes. I mean, we talked about how we incorporate different patterns and route combinations in our offense. And, I mean, I got a lot of good stuff from him, and he learned a little bit stuff about where I'm coming from. And it was just, a good experience to go out and work out with a guy like that.
Mark Sanchez has a 40-year-old Mark Brunell behind him. Sometimes the teams that have a young quarterback usually have an old graybeard sitting behind him on the bench, not just to come in and know an offense pretty much by heart, but kind of like the tutor. You know, in the quarterback room, you don't have that. So they brought in Mr. Van Pelt to be your QB coach. And how's your relationship there? How's that been?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Van Pelt, he's an amazing individual. You know, he was in Buffalo for a long time. I mean, obviously, to be a guy in the league for as long as he was in the league, I mean, he backed up Jim Kelly. He backed up Drew Bledsoe. I mean, he's seen it all. And I click with Alex, I mean, because he's got a real cool demeanor. You know, it's really about, I mean, transferring information and communicating. And, I mean, that's what football's all about. And, I mean, we click off the bat. I mean, he's a guy's guy, just great to be around.
We're talking, of course, with number five. It's the first show of, I don't know, maybe we figure 10 years times 16, about 160 shows. I figure about your 10th year you can quit doing a show. How's that sound?
Hey, it works for me.
You know, I want to interject something real quick, and I was talking to some football fans today about, you know, you having a show, and they said, you know, normally quarterbacks don't have shows, and normally young quarterbacks don't have shows. And I said, that shows you that his coaches realize that if he needs to spend eight hours looking at film on Monday, he's getting all of his work done. Normally young quarterbacks do not have radio shows. So I think that's a testament that you're doing what you need to be doing in this building when you're on the clock.
Oh yeah,
technically.
It's definitely work first. And I mean, when I go home, I'm going to get on the third down reel for Carolina. But I mean, it's definitely work first for sure. And then, I mean, this is just an added bonus to get to hear from the fans, spend some time with you.
Well, I don't know about me, bro. Yeah, well, the jury's out on that, but we'll get to the fans in just a second. You know, you came back this year, and real quick, in the offseason, you know, the rumors were, you know, you called Sammy, or Sammy had called you, hey, man, you need someone to throw to. You went on a mini vacation. There were some things that happened. You were just building that off-field chemistry with your new wide receivers. That's the kind of stuff that we talk about as Buck fans. We go, oh, man, this is going to be so cool to see these guys all gel together. So talk about your relationship with, well, you know, Aurelius and Sammy and Mike Williams. You know, pick a name and just go for a couple of minutes here.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I'll start with Sammy because we came in together. And, I mean, I was a first-round draft pick, obviously, and Sammy came in as a seventh-round guy. And, I mean, with seventh-round guys, you're not really sure. I mean, they're not sure if they're going to make the team or not. But, I mean, Sammy came in very first day with a mentality of he's going to do whatever it takes to not only make the team but go out and help us win football games. And, I mean, he's done just that from the moment he landed in Tampa. And I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Sammy. I mean, we went to the Bahamas this offseason on a little fishing trip. I spent a lot of time out on the field talking routes, talking situations. And Sammy's just an awesome individual, great guy to be around. I'll jump to, Mike and Regis. I've gotten to know those guys real well, those two young guys. And, I mean, I'm really excited, I mean, first off, because, I mean, obviously I'm a young quarterback. And, I mean, I've got three really – solid young guys, two rookies, and Sammy, a second-year guy, who I'm going to have the opportunity to grow with. And, I mean, it was awesome to see Mike go out Sunday and have a good game. He had a great preseason game, and he's a tremendous asset, weapon on the field.
We will talk a little bit about that game when we come back, but we want to make sure that all your fans get on the phone, so we'll give out these phone numbers first and foremost, get you locked and loaded, getting ready to talk to Josh on his very own first radio show in the entire universe. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 800-546-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's the Josh Freeman Show. And, you know, I just want to kind of bounce around a little bit on the game, because some of the things that kind of showed your skill set. But first and foremost was your big scamper down the sideline. You looked like you hit a second gear there. I've seen you scramble last year. I do remember a long run, but I correct me if I'm wrong, I thought I saw a corner on one side and a linebacker, and you just blew right through them like they weren't standing there. What was your 40 time?
You know, I don't really want to talk about my 40.
So, it's, no. In other words, it's better than you had. Yeah.
No, I mean, my 40 time at the combine, I think it was right at 4.9, but, I mean, I'm not worried about that. You know, I'm worried about my ability to get away from people.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm faster on the field. And, I mean, I kind of surprised myself watching it on film how quick I looked. But it was actually a screen pass set up to throw to Ernest. And, I mean, they sniffed it out, read it. I mean, they basically jumped all over it. And for those of you that don't know, On a screen pass, the O-line is setting, and then they're moving down the field, and you're not allowed to, once the linemen are downfield, you're not allowed to throw the ball. So once the play kind of stretches out and the linemen have already gotten their positions, you can't throw the ball. So I was thinking, you can either throw it at his feet or you can run. And so first thing that popped in my mind was, I might be able to get this linebacker around the edge. So I hit him with a quick pump fake and ran as hard as I could, and I was able to get around the edge thanks to a little help from Ernest Graham through a great block. And Yeah, man, I got down the field. I wish I could have scored, but I'm not quite that fast.
Well, we actually got a 49-yard field goal out of that, though. That was in the first half, you know, we had Rondé's pick that really, I think it was 14-3 at the time, and you guys had drove down, and I think you had had maybe, in your press conference, you said you had maybe two passes all day that kind of sailed on you, and one was the early pick.
Yeah.
So let's get to the magic thumb there. I didn't want to talk about it too much because it's just been really talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But the idea that you are and currently are playing with a fractured thumb is still new. So how you feeling with that? And, you know, did it hinder you much at all in the game?
You know, certain aspects of my game where, certain throws, you know, it just doesn't quite feel right yet. But, I mean, the good news is I made it through the game with no more injury to the thumb. I mean, it's still continuing to heal, feeling better and better every day. I mean, today in practice, it felt great. I was able to get a lot more zip back on my passes that I didn't have last week. But
I don't know about that.
No, but it's definitely feeling good, and I mean, that's a testament to our training staff and our doctors. Todd Torricelli's done a great job of knowing when and when not I should be involved in practice and when I should be rehabbing. But it was definitely frustrating when the injury happened. I mean, sitting out the majority of the preseason, but main thing was staying still mentally focused, mentally locked into what was going on, and got an early jump on Cleveland, and we were able to get that win.
An exciting thing in the second half, of course, a lot of people have talked about our defense, but we really started to move the ball. Cadillac at 50 yards rushing in the second half. We really started to, Ronnie mentioned last night on his show, the conditioning, the heat was starting to really get to Cleveland. We really dominated that team in the second half. So I want you to talk a little bit about not just the first crazy tip pass that Mike Williams caught for his first touchdown, because that just what a skill set this young wide receiver has. But that momentum shift in the second half that everybody felt, we all felt it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I feel like they might have gotten away with something with the weather changing, the cloud cover and the rain. It really cooled down. But I mean, Raheem talks about it all the time, embracing the heat, and because we've gone through training camp, we practice in it every day, and the heat's really become a non-factor for our team. And teams that come down here, I mean, especially teams from up north a little ways, I mean, they're not used to humidity, not used to the heat, and we really feel like that could be an advantage for us earlier on this season.
What'd you think of that touchdown, Pat, a reception by Mike?
Oh, incredible, incredible. You know, I mean, that just shows you that Mike is just an all-around athlete. You know, it was really, he was kind of just like an alert. Safety took it away off bat, so I was working the other side, got pressured, stepped up, just tried to get it up to him. Really, the defender was right in perfect position to make a play on the ball. Mike tipped it up, spun around, caught the ball, got his feet together on the ground, fell out of the back of the end zone, man. It was something else, man, getting to watch that in film session. But definitely feel like Mike's going to be a big play guy for us. And you can't say you expect that out of him every week, but after watching him and practicing what he does in the games, you kind of start to expect it.
I was going to say the same thing. Everybody that's watched this young wide receiver is definitely excited about you. A big arm and a big wide receiver is a very good thing to have in an offense. It's not just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, with a lot of potential. Hillsboro, get on the phones. Pinellas, let's do this. 813-990-4620 from Hillsboro. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. I'm Ledge. That's Josh Freeman. It's the first ever Josh Freeman show, part of the Buccaneers Radio Network. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Michael Spurlock will be on with Buccaneers Total Access. We're coming back, taking your phone calls as soon as we return, right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
Freeman now steps over his line, shouts instructions to both sides. And now awaits the snap from Jeff Fain. From the three, here's the snap. Freeman looking, left, looking. Throws the ball left. It is caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Mike Williams with a juggle job. Tipped it away from a defender. Fire the cannons. Bucks score a touchdown.
That was nice. That was nice to get some points from that big pick by Rondé was, what, I asked Rondé about seeing your touchdown. Let me ask you if you saw Rondé's pick and all that. How did you react to that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely saw it. You know, I was at that point, I was kind of getting my mind set ready for a late two-minute drive. It would have been about a one-minute drive. But, yeah, Rondé coming up big, man. He's done it his whole career. And, you know, would have liked to seen him score. But, you know, I'll take the touchdown pass.
He said he's taking some good-natured ribbing from a lot of you guys. So I'm sure. All right, let's get to the phone calls. Robert, Joel, and Adam, we're coming to you guys. But first up, how's this? Josh on the Josh Freeman Show. First caller. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going good. I just got back from Iraq a couple weeks ago, and I was able to make it the first game down there, and I brought my Josh Freeman jersey to the game and gave it to one of the workers who works for the Buccaneers. And he, I guess sometime Monday he got it to Mr. Freeman, and Josh signed it, and that, and a picture of me in Iraq wearing my Josh Freeman jersey, and he got it back to me yesterday. And I just want to tell you, Josh, I appreciate keeping your word, and I appreciate everything you're doing, and I believe in you. My family believes in you, and all the Bucks fans everywhere here and back home in Tennessee and in the Army, where a lot of us believe in you, brother.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you and the service you're doing for the country, man. I really do.
And I just, like I said, I appreciate you keeping your word and getting that stuff back to us, and something me and my family will never forget, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. That means a lot to me.
All right. Bye-bye, man.
Bye.
All right, Josh. You know, there's a 90-yard touchdown right there. Those are the fans that love our Bucks. We love our Bucks, man, and you know that comes from the heart. And Josh, on that end, let me just the sentiment is the same. Thank you for fighting for our country. God bless you and your family. All right, the next is Adam. You're up on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome, Adam.
What up, Free? What up, Laird?
How you doing, bro?
Hey, man. Josh, a couple questions for you, man. You being a young quarterback. And, you know, and listening to how Raheem talks about you, man, you're you love football, you're a tireless worker, and the same adjectives are used to describe quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. I wanted to get your opinion on what you think makes those quarterbacks special. Like, I, you know, do you model your game after anybody, and what makes those guys great? And secondly, I want to get your opinion from your mouth as you face these guys all training camp. What's the deal with McCoy and Price? And, you know, are they destined for greatness? I just want to hear what you got to say about that.
All right, well, I'll start. You talk about Peyton Manning, talk about Drew Brees. And, I mean, what makes them great? I mean, obviously it starts with they have a little bit of ability, but, I mean, they both have a lot of ability. But, you know, it is a work ethic. And, I mean, that's something that I take from those guys. You know, I've read Peyton Manning's book. I've heard a lot about Drew Brees from our coach, Coach Olson, and it starts with your approach you take off the field, and it's about getting in there, film study, getting the work done on and off the field, and trying to really tie up all loose ends and be able to go into a game with the confidence of knowing that you basically know how the game can go and know what can happen. And I mean, I'm still working. Obviously, those two guys are some of the best guys to ever do it. But I mean, that's definitely, I mean, the goal I've set for myself to be, I mean, mentioned in the same sentence, same category as those guys. I mean, second, you said, who do I model my game after? You know, that's tough. I mean, I model my game after a lot of different guys. I mean, I try to watch all the guys who are playing really well in the league. I mean, I obviously watch Peyton Manning. Tom Brady for a lot of finesse reasons, because being 6'6", 250, I mean, it's you got to add an element of finesse to your game, you know. Then there's McNabb, who was able to come out of college and really, I guess, put his athletic ability on hold when needed to sit in the pocket and be able to dissect the defense. And then, I mean, you look at Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, they're just the generals on the field going out there. I mean, commanding their offensive line, whether it's protections, whether it's audibling. I mean, and you see those things, and I mean, those are all things that I'm trying to incorporate in my game to take myself and this team to the next level. And you asked about Gerald and BP, and those guys, man, those guys are something else. All training camp and OTAs, it was kind of frustrating because those guys were in the backfield all day, and and you try to get a look, but I mean, those guys do a tremendous job, and I mean, I'm looking for big things out of those guys this season.
Well put, well put. All righty, let's go to Joel in Land O'Lakes. You're up next with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the program, Joel.
Hey, Josh, how are you today?
Hey, Joel, I'm great. How are you?
Good. I wanted to have a comment and two questions. First of all, my comment is I do want to say that it's very, very noticeable that you're mature way beyond your years. Just with the fact, the way you speak, I saw you at the draft party the night that we drafted Gerald, and the way you were around the fans. And it is really exciting knowing that I think we finally do have a franchise quarterback. So congratulations on that.
Hey, now, thanks a lot.
Two questions I have. Very happy because I've been a Bucks fan for the last 25 years. But I noticed that you obviously you grew a lot in terms of not targeting one receiver and locking in on that one receiver. I read in the newspaper today about what you learned from John Beeson from the last time you guys played him, and I noticed you had a pump fake. Is that the hardest thing to do, is learning how to make the safety and take the safety out of the play by pump fake, looking off and looking to another receiver?
Yeah, that's definitely something I worked on this offseason. I mean, there's a lot of good players in this league, and I mean, you can't always just beat a guy by dropping back and throwing it. Sometimes it takes a look off or a pump just to get that guy to hesitate a split second so you can get the ball in. But
are you talking about on a three-step or five-step or
oh,
seven?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what are you talking about here specifically?
The three-step game, it's different. A lot of the time it's quick progression reads where, I mean, it's a kind of a built-in look off. You look at the first progression. If the defender jumps that, then you move right to the second one, who's usually in the hole that defender just vacated. In the five-step and the seven-step game, it's a little more tricky. Dropping back, and you really have to use your eyes and use your pump fake a little more to maybe open up a window.
Is it your periphery? I always think, because people, when you look at a sign, you're literally looking straight at your sign, but your periphery can make out quite a few things. Is it an eye training thing? I mean, when you get used to seeing more of the field, and I always hear quarterbacks say the game is slowing down. Is that what we're talking about? Is you being able to see and calculate, not calculate, but process things quicker?
I mean, that's part of it. And the other part, I'd say the majority of it is film study and understanding where the defense is going to be, you know. So if you know it's cover two and you want to throw to your Z receiver, your strong side receiver, well, you're going to originally look left to get the Sam linebacker to squeeze because they read your eyes in cover two, and you're going to take a quick hitch, reset back out to the Z, and the Sam, 9 times out of 10, will be out of position. I'd say 9.5 times out of 10.
So, you know, if you know the role in a coverage, if you know ahead of time, that helps you. And now, the question real quick is, young receivers normally aren't recognizing coverages that quick, but we hear the maturity level. You know, we just heard a caller talk about you being maybe a little ahead of your years in the NFL standards, and maybe we're saying the same thing about Sammy Strotter, and we're saying the same thing about Mike Williams, but how often are these guys making the right choices on film? Are they doing pretty good so far?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a good job. I mean, obviously, I mean, the defenses we face, you see a lot of exotic coverages. Last week was a good example. Maybe a route you should have converted because they're playing, a two-cut where they're rolling the two, where it's not a traditional two. They get there from a different – they roll the safeties and bail the corner, and it just looks different. It's something that you have to recognize through film study. But they've done a great job coming in, watching film, and also knowing when to convert their routes and when to stay on them. So, I mean, those guys are doing a great job, and I can see us continuing to get better.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. William, you're on deck. We're going to Robert in Clearwater. You're on with Josh Freeman. Welcome.
Good night, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're great, man.
Good.
Feels good to be 1-0 this year, doesn't it?
Hey, no doubt.
Hey, now, Josh, hey, you turn on the Four Letter Network and you hear all this talk about, you know, the Jets being put in the Super Bowl before they even start the season and the kind of pressure that puts on a second-year quarterback in Sanchez and, you know, Stafford, your other first-round draftee that went with you, he's already hurt in week one. What are your expectations for yourself? And, you know, coming into that second year, you're the guy now. you know, this team, you know, the fans around here want to see some improvement. You know, what kind of pressure are you putting on yourself, and where do you want to be at the end of this season?
Well, you know, there's always going to be expectations. You know, there's a winning tradition around here that, a lot of great players built up, like Warren Sapp, John Lynch, Derek Brooks, all those guys. I mean, they did a great job of establishing tradition around here. And me personally, I want to play well enough to go out and win. You know, I was raised to have a lot of confidence in my abilities and to prepare and expect to go out and play well and win. You know, that's my expectation every week. So when you talk about, Sanchez with the pressures on him, Stafford injured, pressures on him, I feel like I've got, I guess, similar pressures, but I feel like the biggest pressure that is on me is the pressure that I put on myself, the pressure to go out and lead the team, lead the offense, and ultimately find a way to win the game. It might not always be pretty, but, I mean, you're going to have opportunities in every game to make the plays, to put the points on the board, to ultimately win. And, I mean, that's my goal, find a way to get those points on the board.
Mark Sanchez should make a phone call to Trent Dilfer, and Trent can give him advice saying, you know, when you have a very good defense, a Super Bowl-caliber defense, don't try to win it. Sometimes you got to eat it. Don't be afraid to throw a ball away. But then again, don't be afraid to take risks. The reason I'm talking about that is because, when we look at you as a quarterback, I asked Rondé this last night. This is a defensive identity town. You know, the Bucs' the identity of this football team in the past was we were one bad defense. We were never known as an offensive town. But now things are changing a little bit the way we start thinking about the possibilities of how we could look to both sides of the ball. So I'm going to put it to you. Don't you want to own the identity in this? Not you specifically, but you know, there's got to be some pride on the offensive side of this ball too.
Yeah, I mean, we take a lot of pride in what we do, and but we understand that it is a team game. You know, I mean, we couldn't have got it done Sunday without the help of the defense. And I mean, some weeks it's going to require us to put up more points. I mean, other weeks the defense is going to play lights out, and I mean, we might not have to score 30 or even 20, you know. And but it's really on offense, our goal is to sustain drives, put points on the board, and not do anything that hurts the team, like not have any turnovers down in our own red zone that sets up the other team for an easy score. But you talk about this being an offensive team, you know. And I mean, yeah, you can look at it like that, like that's where we want to get it to. But I wanted to get it to a team that is playing lights out on defense, lights out on offense, and lights out on special teams, and then we'll really be cooking.
You got it. That's Josh Freeman. Get in line right behind William. We're coming to you next in a second here, brother. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Or toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's 2827. The Josh Freeman Show rolls on. William in Tampa, you're up. How you doing?
Guys, doing great. Thanks for being there for us. Josh, we're buying you 110% or farther. The economy's a little bit tough, but people, if you don't see the stands full, believe me, you got plenty of people backing you up. I met you personally when you were furniture shopping one day, and you're a huge man, bud. fall forward, don't slide, and use a stiff arm, and we're behind you 100%, bud.
Hey, thanks a lot, William.
Thanks much.
You know, let me ask you about that crowd. Normally, you know, you're not here in the crowd. You're on the sidelines, and the defense is getting bumped up in a home game. But that was a very loud 41,000 people. Coach even gave him some props the other day in his press conference.
Yeah, no doubt. And, we definitely appreciate that. Towards the end of the game, you know, obviously there was a lot of talk about a blackout, talk about our fan support. We don't have fan support, all this stuff. But, you know, when it came down to it at the end of the game, when Cleveland needed to make a play on offense, I mean, I'm positive that our fans played a role in their lack of communication. You know, it was rocking, you know, for 41,000, man. They got it up.
Well, you know why they were rocking? Because I saved your best throw of the game because I wanted to talk about that thing you put in the back pocket of Michael Spurlock. That was one beautiful touchdown throw. We watched that on film a couple of times after the game on the NFL Network, and I was like, that DB was right on him. And usually when you look at a receiver going down the field, you'll see him adjust to the ball. He'll either go closer to the goalpost or farther away. And I just saw him. He just kept running straight, and he looked right over his shoulder like that. So tell me about the play, because obviously, was it the prior play that Mike Williams was open deep left, and you kind of missed him.
Yeah.
And then you were kind of, you didn't kick yourself. You came right back and made just a great throw. That was a great throw, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the play to Mike Williams was definitely frustrating because, I mean, quarterback, in my mindset, it's towards the end of the game, we're trailing. I'm thinking to myself, hey, you might get maybe one more opportunity to hit a big one to put your team up at the end of the game. And, I mean, the opportunity popped in front of me, and I missed the first one to Mike. Fortunately for me, I mean, I got a guy named Michael Spurlock who's willing to make a play too. And it was a couple series before. They ran an all-out blitz the minute we crossed the 50-yard line. And I was trying to go to Michael Spurlock, and he was trying to cross face on the corner. The corner kind of held him. It was a bad look, and I got sacked. We get back to the sideline, look at the pictures. We talk to the coaches. The coach was like, hey, just take it high. Normally you want to cross face because it's all-out blitz, but, hey, let's just take it high. We feel
is that
like
another second? You got to wait a little longer on that throw?
Yeah, you got to wait a little longer. I mean, we were talking, and, I mean, Jeff and the O-line – felt like they were up to it. They could hold it off for that extra second. And I mean, they did a great job of giving me the time. Cadillac came across, had a key block, and I mean, Michael Spurlock ran his route to win, got on top of him, and the rest is history. Touchdown.
Have you played against the Jets?
I did. Yes.
Yes, and you played against the Jets' twin brothers' defense in the Cleveland Browns. The Pittsburgh Steelers, you never know where they're coming from when they line up. You're seeing a lot more 3-4 in this league. How are you feeling facing that? I mean, there's some decision-making to be made almost at every snap.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, I mean, looking back to the Jets game, that was a game really I wish I could have back. You know, it was really a poor offensive effort on my behalf. And going back and watching that game, and you feel like, I mean, we left a lot of points on the field. And, I mean, Rob Ryan runs, I mean, kind of similar 3-4. A lot of guys walking around trying to disguise their looks.
Hands up, hands down.
Yeah, half the time.
All guys standing up.
Half the time, I mean, you're not really 100% sure what you're going to get. But, I mean, fortunately for me, I got a great coaching staff who understands defense. I got a great center in Jeff Fain who does a great job helping me out with protection calls. And, I mean, we really grinded on Cleveland. I mean, that was a really long week film study-wise. And going into it, we had a really good feel of what they were bringing and recognizing their looks. And, we recognized the all-out blitz, got to some checks, were able to do some stuff to, I guess, kind of take the pressure off. But that last play, man, it was really all about Michael Spurlock beating Hayden. And it was just really, really awesome because you see – the stuff that we talk about on the sideline translate directly to the field to ultimately win the game.
That's the stuff we see on NFL films all the time. You know, when we're watching those old Super Bowl films of teams and coaches sitting on the sidelines with the old grease pencils and the chalkboards, and now it's Polaroids, and not even Polaroids, it's computer printouts that and it's like you're processing information. You know, offensive coordinators are sometimes five or six plays ahead, and they're thinking as you're going through a drive. You know, it's a quick 45 seconds in your brain, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, it's really the play comes in, and you basically, I mean, preview. You think about any possible blitz you could get, any possible protection calls you could get, and, I mean, think about where you're going to go with the ball. Say it's pressure and the heat's on. Who's your guy that, I mean, you know he's going to be a quick outlet, who you can just dump the ball off to and, get out alive with. And but then there are also those times where it's, hey, if we get this coverage, you're going to have a deep play. You're going to have an opportunity to throw a deep ball. And it's, it's really, really a lot of fun. I mean, it keeps you really mentally stimulated. That's what my coach, our coach Olson always says. I mean, he's like, hey, it's like, you got to love this, man. You got to love it. And, I love it. And I love my teammates, love being around those guys. And it's just, You can tell we're making strides. We're working. We're continuing to improve. I mean, really excited about this opportunity to go play a good, hungry Carolina Panthers defense. And, I'm raring to go.
Well, we're going to get to them. Believe me, we're quite a few things to talk about. I had a chance to watch them play in the Giants game the Carolina defense. I think one of the stats I'd written down was the Giants had minus 8 yards rushing in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And that's Brandon Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a team that, you know, is going to bring it. But we're going to hit a break and come back. I'll load you up on the phone lines. Don't be afraid. We got some open lines, both Hillsborough and Pinellas. Matter of fact, got a couple open lines. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. One half down, coming back for the second half of the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035.
First down on the penalty 15-yard march off to the 37-yard line. Dropping back to throw is Freeman under pressure, rolling right, pump fake. He's going to run. Freeman will get a first down. Sideline still going. He's to the 20-yard line of the 30-yard line of the Cleveland Browns. He did not step out of bounds. And did you see the determination, Dave, when he saw he had a little running room? He put on the afterburner. I've never seen him run that fast.
See? Told you. Yeah, absolutely. We put in low gear for Freeman or whatever you want to call it, though. But there was an extra giddy up there. I want to talk about a guy real quick that had a John and Chris standby. We're coming right to you, by the way. But Cadillac Williams, you know, last couple of years, the story with him, every time he was interviewed, he's always asked, how's your knees? How's your knees? And he was always so polite. You know, he would basically say, you know, I've worked hard. Because let's face it, two patella tears, that's a story. Two separate knees. But now he gets to talk about, yeah, I've been working on my football skills. And, you know, he had a great game. You know, you take a marginal holding call against
very marginal
against Kellen Winslow, and the True Blood one, not the Davin Joseph one. Yeah. That looked like he just pancaked his man and it was a late flag. So 42 yards of rushing yardage. He would have had about 125, 130 yards of rushing. He had a great game.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And that's I mean, yeah, people love to talk about Cadillac's knees, but I mean, Cadillac puts in a lot of work. I mean, he's right there with me and anybody else who's up in the building studying film. And I mean, those guys, Cadillac and EG, are both, I mean, tremendous assets. I mean, those guys, I mean, they help me out a lot. I mean, whether it's communicating on pass protections, whether it's, I mean, breaking open a big run. I mean, Cadillac is he can do it all.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Chris, you're on deck. We got room behind him, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. John in Spring Hill, you're on with Josh Freeman.
What's up, big guy?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Not much, my man, not much. It's funny, man, finally get to talk to you, man. I've been one of your biggest hypers for the last 2 years, man. I've been hyping you up.
Thanks a lot.
I'm like, man, I hope I don't look bad hyping this kid up for the last couple of years. But, man, I've seen you. Seen you in college, buddy. I knew you had it, man. I was hoping we'd get a steal for you in the first round. We ended up picking you up. I actually have another residence in Syracuse, man. I've been hyping up Mike Williams, too, man. It's nice to see you both together now. I just want to know, what's up with the chemistry between you and Aurelius Ben? Everything going smooth with him, or did we take a miss? I know he's going to be good. I know he hasn't gotten enough reps like Mike Williams, but, you know, how's the chemistry between you two going?
No, it's going really well. You know, it's kind of, you talk about, I mean, comparing guys, Mike and Aurelius. I mean, they play, I mean, two different positions, but I mean, some guys, I mean, develop at a different rate. And I mean, I really feel like, I feel like Aurelius could step in and he could play Sunday. And I mean, we wouldn't have a drop off in production, you know? But, I mean, right now we have Maurice Stovall and Michael Spurlock, who are also been playing really good football. But, I mean, Regis is definitely a stud, man. He's definitely a stud.
Anybody that saw the Texas game saw him go up and rip two balls out of two defenders' hands.
Oh, yeah.
Realize that this guy, you know, wants the ball badly, which is what you definitely want to see. When you're throwing, it's pitch and catch. You want, you know, that's why everybody loves Larry Fitzgerald, because you know, he goes up, and there's a real good chance, even like Mike Williams did, the corner had a position on the ball, and he played defender for half a second and switches back to, you want that guy that basically wants that ball no matter what.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Regis is definitely that guy. He definitely is. And talking about chemistry, I mean, I've definitely, you talk about, I mean, reps in practice. I've had more work with Mike Williams because he's been, I guess, in a starting position more, but as the weeks have been going on, I've definitely got to work with Aurelius a lot more, and I'd say look for him quite a bit more this week I mean, getting the ball and trying to get the ball in his hands. I mean, I know he'll be out on the field, whether it's a specifically designed package or if it's just him going in playing the Z wide receiver. And I just look for him, man. He's going to come out, and I know he's raring to go. He's hungry to make a play, and just trying to get the ball in our playmaker's hands.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Chris and St. Pete, you're up next on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Ledge?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Josh, congrats on the win. That was a good game last week. It had me a little nervous at the end, but, hey, a win is what we needed. But, Josh, I'm 44 years old, and I've been a Bucs fan since the beginning. My dad took me to the games in the 70s. And I, you know, was watching all through the 80s, 90s, and, you know, all the way through. So I've seen about 35, 40 quarterbacks come through here. And I'll have to say with you, there's probably one or two other quarterbacks that I have felt good about or okay. This guy's going to be okay, and we're going to be okay with him. The other guy was Vinny Testaverde. I know he's before your time. You might have been real young. But do you know much about him? Have you seen a lot of Vinny Testaverde?
Not when he was playing with the Bucks, but yeah, I'm familiar with Vinny Testaverde, and I mean he had a pretty good career in the NFL, not necessarily as a Buccaneer, but I mean yeah,
Browns, yeah, Jets,
yeah, that was more where I saw him.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he was around 21 years, which is pretty amazing. But if you look at him, Josh, next time you get a chance, as far as you. The two of your body build are very similar. Your drop backs are, you're both tall guys with broad shoulders and a good arm. And the thing about you, Josh, I was not sold because we don't get a lot of Kansas football down here. We just didn't see a lot of it. So when you first came in, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't feel the quiet calmness or coolness in the beginning. It was listening to your interviews and seeing your intelligence. And you're a student of the game and the way you conduct and carry yourself. And then I was at the Green Bay game, and at that point, from that point on, I was like, holy cow. And, Josh, I have a lot of confidence in you now, and I'm not worried about you at quarterback at all, and I'll take your answers off the air.
He's very observant.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris. I mean, it's That's part of the game. That's how it goes. I mean, that's your job, man. As a fan, as a longtime fan, question, I guess, the direction the organization's going in. And I mean, when you draft a first round quarterback, there's always going to be skeptics. But I mean, my job is to go out and play football. You know, I mean, I can't fault you for how you felt, but I mean, at the same time, we're on the same team. I want to go out and I want to win games, and I want to see the Buccaneers succeed as well. And I appreciate you saying that. I really appreciate that.
It's definitely a football state, you know. And everybody talks about West Texas high school football, or you know, Ohio Pittsburgh kind of football. I mean, and then you come into Florida, and you know, as much as other teams are doing well in other sports right now here in town, this is a football town. And I bet when you got drafted, you realize, well, let me see, there's three pro teams and three college, basically now four and a half college teams in the state of Florida. You're definitely going to a football state.
Oh, yeah.
And do you feel at home here in Florida? Are you still living down in downtown Tampa area there?
I'm living in South Tampa now.
Is it starting to feel like home? That's really what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, I mean, a big part of that, obviously, the people that I work with in the building. But the other half of that is the community, the fans. I mean, they really know how to make a new guy feel at home, you know, and it's really an honor to go out and play for people who are so passionate about their professional team.
Good stuff. Ben in Lando Lakes, thanks for the wait. You can get in line behind Ben, by the way. We got two open lines, Hillsboro 813-990-4620 or Pinellas 727-461-4620, and we'll get to you. Ben, welcome to the program.
Ledge Free, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's up?
Hey.
Good. Just wanted to get your – I know you had a big off season. I know you worked really hard. There was a lot of things, with the stability that you have this year coming in. You know who your offensive coordinator is. You know who's calling plays. what exactly did you do in the off season? What specifically did you try to work on yourself? I mean, I know there's you had to work on your all-around game, but what were the things you really nitpicked about yourself? And then the second thing I wanted to ask is I went to a bunch of the training camps, and I saw the last one at the stadium. And I got to ask you, what was more nerve-wracking, that first game in Cleveland or the quadruple overtime in the contest with the other quarterbacks?
Yeah. When we finished the year last year, I sat down and watched basically the entire season. I took notes about basically what exactly I needed to improve on and where my shortcomings my rookie year were coming from, and some of it was accuracy, some of it was footwork, which I guess is partly accuracy.
Kind of connected.
Yeah, they're definitely connected. And then the other part was, dropping back and what I was seeing and reliving the memories of dropping back and say throwing an interception last year, and what was my train of thought going into that play when I dropped back. And what caused me to throw the interception? I mean, some of it was accuracy, some of it was footwork, some of it was being confused by the defense. So, I mean, I started out. I mean, you look at from a physical standpoint, definitely grinded on footwork and throwing the ball. You know, you can't throw the ball enough as a quarterback. And being young, having a live arm, I can throw all day. So I was able to go out, and I had receivers in town. I had Michael Clayton, Maurice Stovall. I had a number of guys who would go out with me and just catch ball after ball after ball as long as I needed to go out there until I felt really good about whatever throw it was that I needed to make. I mean, throwing on the run, throwing under pressure, throwing, stepping up in the pocket. I mean, you name it, I did it this offseason. And then we hired Alex Van Pelt, and went out and definitely his experience as a quarterback for his time in the league. I mean, he taught me a lot about how connected your footwork and the plays are. You know, I mean, you take a three-step with two hitches when you're throwing an in route, and it's going to be late. There's a better chance of it getting deflected, better chance of something crazy happening that you don't want to happen. It's three steps and one hitch. On our drive concepts, it's a seven-step drop. I mean, I'd been taking five before, and it was really, I guess, messing up my reads. I felt like I was behind because I get to the top of my drop and the receiver wouldn't be there, so I'd always progress too fast. And the other half was just studying defenses, studying the defense, watching the games that that we had played in, whether we had success in it or not. Just trying to understand the defenses and what defenses are trying to do in this league. And I came away after this offseason with first of all, physically refreshed. I had a great offseason in the weight room. And the second thing, I felt like I had a very good foundation for what I wanted to be as a quarterback this year. And it was really in training camp where, I mean, things started to click. You know, we were completing about 80% of our passes, which is up about 20%. From the year prior in training camp, and having the opportunity to take all those reps and go in and watch them on film, I mean, it was really invaluable. Man, it was. There's nothing that can, I guess, make up for the time spent on the field having the reps.
Real quick, we're gonna hit a break, but was that muscle memory, or was that you accepting a checkdown pass? You know, because sometimes when the percentages go up, it's like, okay, I'm gonna take what the defense gives me here, and I'm gonna check down at a running back. How much of your success will be predicated on doing that?
You know, it's you talk about the percentage going up, and it's a little bit of both. You know, it's being on time, throwing the dagger down the middle of the field. It's knowing when you've gone through the proper footwork for your first two reads, and your next hitch has got to go to the check down. I mean, that really my whole career leading up until really this year, I mean, the check down is really a non-thought to me. You know, later last year, I mean, I started
to... You got a 70-yard arm.
You know, because up until, coming to the NFL, I never really had to, I guess, use my check downs. But it's definitely, look for me getting the ball in Cadillac and Ernest Graham's hands a lot more in situations where they drop back in coverage.
Sounds good. And we'll come back and talk a little bit about some of the strategies the offense hopes to incorporate as we take on the Stinking Panthers. That's right. Your second game against them, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, there's a nice little rivalry. Nice little rivalry. We'll come back and do more of the Josh Freeman Show. Don't forget, by the way, tomorrow night Total Access returns with Michael Spurlock, our special guest. We're coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Josh Freeman Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
Buccaneers are 1-0 after winning their home opener against the Cleveland Browns. We do our first road game, and sometimes the NFL likes to put, as a matter of fact, they do it on purpose. They put more of the division games in the second half of the season because obviously they carry much more weight, and as far as TV ratings concerned, they pay off. But we get the Panthers, bro, in week two. In week two, you know, regardless of last week's win, you know, this is a young team. This is actually, the Panthers are even younger than us. We're the second youngest team in the NFL, and they are the youngest.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They've jettisoned quite a few of their older names. You know, the old Musa Muhammad, Julius Peppers, Kedrick Vincent now plays for us. They've gotten rid of some of their guys that were over 30, and they've brought in Charles Johnson, third year at defensive end, Everett Brown, second year at defensive end. There's kind of a youth injection on their defense. I had a chance to watch them play the Giants the other day, and, you know, they can still get after the passer. They look pretty good against the run, but, you know, they're a young team, and Charles Godfrey got a pick, Sherrard Martin got a pick. So, you know, when you're under center, you're going to be looking at a very motivated defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, I think it reflects on the Coach Fox. You know, they get after it. I mean, obviously they made moves this offseason. Peppers to the Bears is the most notable. But, I mean, they still have John Beeson. They still have Tyler Braden. They still have Gamble. I mean, they still have a lot of playmakers on their defense. But, I mean, yeah, you're talking about being young. I mean, you look at I was looking at some stat, and coming into this year, I think we have on our quarterback roster, we had 13 starts combined out of all of our quarterbacks, and they had, I think, 9.
Yeah, so I think Matt Moore is 6-3 now, and obviously Jimmy Clausen hasn't played again.
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, it's definitely it's going to be a challenge. I mean, they always are, you know, and they try to do things to stop the run game. You're talking about negative 8 yards in the first quarter, and in the first half, I think the stat was they had 13 carries for 6 yards. So, I mean, it's definitely definitely going to be interesting to see how we're able to run the ball, and also when I'm called upon to pass. I mean, they play a lot of man-to-man, so we're going to have to. It's going to be our first real true test for these young guys.
I know this doesn't concern you directly, but one of the things they did really well was special teams. Their drive starts were their own 22, the Giant 49, the Giant 29, the Carolina 45, Carolina 48, midfield. So that basically means let's hope that Rich Bisaccia, you know, nixes that in the bud. But let's say you guys need to get some sustained drives. What I'm kind of leading to is if, you know, even if you move the stick for two or three first downs, even though you might not score that drive, sustaining drives is a great way in a head knocking kind of football game to really help out your defense. So you guys are, you know, motivated to move the sticks, aren't you?
Yeah, I can tell. No doubt. And when we play Carolina, it's always a physical game. Always a physical game for the offense and for the defense, so we know that it's that we're gonna have to sustain drives. And what you're talking about field position, I mean, it's definitely plays a big part in the game where your starting position is. Watching the film, I mean, their field position, they had I think 3 interceptions on Eli Manning, which set them up in prime field position. But those other drives, I mean, it was whether it's special teams or their offense moving the ball down and punting for good field position to set it up. So, but I mean, that's how the game goes sometimes, you know. Sometimes you won't be in the best field position, but I mean, I understand that. We understand that as an offense, and I mean, I feel like we got answers.
Good show. Get your game face on.
Oh, I will.
You come back 2-0. Thanks to all our callers. We appreciate it. Don't forget, tomorrow night is Total Access. Remember, don't forget that Gerald McCoy has his show every Tuesday, and Josh will be sitting down just like he did tonight every single Thursday throughout the season. Been a pleasure, man.
Hey.
I will see you always. Next week. Go get a win, and we will talk to everybody else real soon right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.